Welcome everyone to another episode of the Jonathan Project podcast. Colby, and I'm here with my co-host Jason. Our purpose here is simple: trying to help Christian men and men everywhere navigate these complex times that we live in to have better relationships with those around them. And we take the biblical Jonathan example of loyalty and faith with his friend and future King David as the inspiration for this podcast. So let's get into today's show. Jason, thanks for joining me. So I want to give the audience, because they have no clue of how we kind of will kick off this episode. So I'm sitting on my couch and I was telling Jason, so it's been a rough week for me, like just physically. So I had an injury on my left leg from Iraq a long time ago. It has made the right side, the strong side, and had to carry the weight. Well, finally, the old right side said that's enough and it tapped out. So I have some micro tears in my Achilles and ankle ligaments. And so, but the funny thing is, I guess maybe it's funny to me, is I was limping around like this for 2 weeks. And so I was up since midnight Eastern time before we recorded this. And Jason sends me a text. He's like, "Hey, how's it going? Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm doing great. What's up?" It's how I responded, not knowing that we had set the agreed upon time for us to record. So I was in a rush. So I'm happy that we're here, Jason. Thanks for your grace this morning as I was trying to get going.
No, I'm glad you're here, obviously. I hope you get to feeling better. I was running a little bit behind myself. It's later in the afternoon here, and I'm trying to do laundry, which is absolutely a task for me. So I just put it all in one thing. That could be one of my clothes. All have a shade of gray to them or green. So it's the way it is, right? Yeah. No, but happy to be here. Yeah, you know, we talked about last episode and discussed how titles were important and how your title and your it should be tied up in Christ. And that kind of helps you set the trajectory of where you're going in life, which is kind of dovetails into this episode here about not sacrificing your future for your past. So go ahead there, buddy.
No, that's awesome. So I'm really excited about today's episode. Again, as Jason just mentioned, we're going to talk about not sacrificing your future for your past. And our biblical example, and I'm sure we'll have a couple, but the main one is going to be from David's life. And we might paint a perspective of the story that is unique and you might not have heard, but I think it's really salient for men. And again, I'll encourage you right up here up front, if you haven't studied the life of David, it is really worth your time to understand that story. But Jason, can you give us kind of some perspective of why do we like to live in the past?
Well, you know, that's super interesting. I'm glad you threw that out. As a man with a third grade education, I'm joking, PhD in psychology, that is a big topic. Why do people spend time in the past? When you first threw that out, I thought, that's great. Next week, we'll have Dr. Emmett Brown and co-guest Marty McFly with our DeLorean and plutonium, and we'll discuss the basics of time travel. Just we'll be aiming for 1.21 gigawatts and we'll work our way back through it. But in reality, why do we focus on the past? Where this actually started was a painting. It's a scene from the Great Flood. It's an 1826 painting of Noah's Flood by Joseph Court. It's a French name. You know, I'm not good with that. But it's a great picture. And it's actually one I put as a screensaver on my phone right now to kind of keep things in perspective as a dad. But in this picture, the man is sitting on the rock and the water's rising and he's reaching down to get his father, who is drowning in the water, and his wife is pushing the baby up on the other side of the rock, but he is bypassing them down to save his father. And I thought about that and I thought, you know, so often we as dads, as men and also women, we look past the present and the future to focus on the past. And the past is either positive or negative. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a positive way to examine your past, and that being the roots and foundation of who you are and to help you navigate future problems. But the negative side of our past is it's really when it becomes our baggage. There's a recent study, and I really did like it. It said that 50% of our time is spent thinking about something other than the present. We have the inability to focus upon the present moment. And the guy said that one of the topics they were focused on was wandering minds are unhappy. Now, Don't get me wrong. Sometimes we sit around and think about happy moments that we've shared and so forth. But for those that sit around and think about unhappy times, that those past become a burden, it's your mind will wander and try to get back either to that happiness, to a happy state, or be trying to renegotiate those problems. So that kind of tells us where your headspace is at, right? And that was kind of my thought on it.
No, I like that, Jason, that, you know, our past as men can really cast a pretty large shadow on how we move forward through our lives. You know, and when we look at the David story, you know, to kind of tie that, you know, that great perspective that you just provided into our kind of main thought from the Bible's perspective this week is, you know, if you've never been to the Middle East, I want to set the stage for you, especially the rural Middle East. It is pretty much the same as in the era of David, and Jason can attest to this, is that work and home are not too far apart. There are a lot of, you know, farmers, sheep herders, you know, other kind of livestock. But the distance, I would say, on average, is probably no more than 500 meters from someone's house.
Oh, that's so, a lot of times. It's very close. You know, the tents, when they set up the tents, it's right there. You can't afford to have something come and take your livestock.
Right.
Your livelihood, right? So it's right there with
it. Right. So when we look at David and how he handled his past, that's the picture I kind of want to paint out is, when you look at that story, Samuel comes, right? The Lord has sent him to the house of Jesse. Jesse has all these boys. But what you notice, if you kind of look at this story, is David was still left to tend the sheep. Now, one perspective could be, well, someone had to watch him, everyone couldn't go away. But when you look at this, it was a deliberate move. See, David's father had clear favorites. And so he's presenting his favorites, as you could picture this. They're on some kind of platform, or they're standing in front of the house. Samuel is going through, waiting for the Lord to tell them, hey, this is the next king. This is the next king. And he gets through all of the boys that Jesse wants to present. And then the Lord's like, hey, no, this is not it. Again, paraphrasing, right? Do you have someone else? And Jesse, in the Bible, you can kind of see this pause. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I have David. You know, David is this harp playing, poetry writing. He's out there with the sheep. He's smaller. So, you know, it's David.
Hey, go ahead. I love the story, but how many brothers do you think he went through before he called up David?
I mean, I would say at least, what, three?
Yeah.
At least probably three guys were teed up, you know, by a good old dad there. And I'm sure David could hear all of this going on because of like the scene that we just painted for everyone, that work and home was not that far away. So imagine that. And again, it's the understanding that David could have had this edge. He could have had this disappointment of not being the favorite. And then being anointed and still not being able to separate from that, because the rest of the Bible story is Samuel anoints him. He stays at the house and continues to do the same thing. Even after you've been anointed to be the next king, nothing changed. And then we get fast forwarded and he goes and he has to bring something to his brothers. Again, dad wants to check on his favorite. And we know how the story kind of plays out there. But it was interesting to me, Jason, that, you know, David had to overcome some dysfunction, which we'll see play out in his life and how he didn't handle it always in the best of ways, but he didn't sacrifice his future. I could have not imagined being anointed king and not losing my mind and saying, hey, well, I'm going to go and, you know, I'm going to the palace right now. So it's an interesting perspective for me on how to handle an aspect of your past, especially if you had a rough childhood, so to speak.
No, I remember when you and I first talked about this topic and drawing on our past experiences, and you're absolutely right. In the Middle East, especially in the rural areas, where you're working, it's right there. And here's this child, right? And he has to be curious as to what's going on because he has a guest. And if you live out in the rural areas, when the guest shows up, that is a big deal. And this is the priest, right? And he's got to be very curious. And he's, hey, what's going on? And they're like, go tend the sheep. And what do you mean? What's going on? Go tend the sheep. And it has to be heart-wrenching. And I think that's part of that baggage. You know, it's interesting, baggage, both literally and metaphorically. As you get older, the trick, I don't think, is what all you can acquire, but I think it's really about how much can you turn loose up, right? Both in your house as well as in life. And people who grow up with a rough childhood, you can either choose that the line stops above you, or you can go, well, I hope my kids get it right. One of my absolute favorite pastors tells a story about his father, and he always talks about what a great dad he is. You want to talk about a horrific childhood. His dad's mother committed suicide right in front of him, took the poison, blamed it on him with her dying breath, and said, "You're the reason I'm doing it," and died. But that man decided the line stopped right there and raised very godly children and had a Christ-centered home. You know, you talk about what your past either does, or you either build from it, or, you know, it either becomes a foundation or an anchor in a bad way, right?
Yeah. You brought up a good point. I think that for men, and what another point of this understanding your past and really dealing with that is, David had to constantly choose in critical moments not to be the victim, right? Mm-hmm. And this is something that we see that plagues, I think, a lot of men at times, whether they know it consciously or not, is that they are a victim to their past, which is causing issues in the present and most definitely eroding like their future. So for example, right, you know, how his father treated him, right? Now, we don't know because the Bible doesn't give us that, right? We're inferring some things here of exactly how he felt about David, but it's clear that there was a hierarchy in that household. Mm-hmm. And so he had to understand how to relate to his brothers at an early age. Then he gets to his father-in-law, right? He gets married. He finally does the great thing with Goliath on the battlefield. And then his father-in-law, who is a type of his father, does the same thing, but to another level. Now his father-in-law wants to kill him out of jealousy and rage. And then here's a big one, and we can spend a little time pulling this one apart. Having your wife, his first wife, publicly humiliate him as he brings back the Ark of the Covenant. He's dancing, right? Because that's who David is. He's joyous before the Lord. And your wife, which I assume the Bible doesn't tell us she was just hanging out, but it's a public place because someone, her court attendant, someone was around to probably attend to her, and she sees her husband out here dancing and she says something.
Yeah.
You know, how many guys have lived in these moments or have these things where they feel humiliated, they don't feel valued at home, right? And it plays back all these traumas and it really can erode their future for their children, for themselves, for their spouses and the communities around them. But what do you think about that? Like, I think that's interesting of how David had to make some conscious choices. And then we can talk about how he didn't make some good choices off of that too, but...
No, I think, man, when you said something, it made me stop and think. You know, especially in organizational, when you talk about a lot of psychology, the best medicine is preventive medicine, right? Like insulation from something. And I love, because as I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, about David's perspective, his dad, his father-in-law, and all these hardships, and then he's chased. When you look at it, it almost looks like tragedy after tragedy, triumph, tragedy, triumph, tragedy. But at the end, he's recorded as a man after God's own heart. And I thought about that. And I thought about, well, okay, that meant, you know, like he is constantly pursuing God. And that was the insulation from all that stuff. I think even from the baggage of his past, it was insulated because of his heavenly father, right? His pursuit of his heavenly father. And it also gets into your identity, what we see ourselves as, right? But I think about that, and my mind shifts about when you become, as a dad, as a brother, as a husband, or as a wife, or as a mom, that when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you become a brand new creature. And you have to focus forward. I think about Elisha, and Elijah comes by. I love this story in 1 Kings 19. Being from the South, I absolutely can appreciate this story. In a minute, the joke will come come fruition. But Elisha gets the mantle come by. He catches the mantle, right, of Elijah. And he takes off after him. And he says, hey, I'm here. And he goes, but give me a minute. Let me kiss my parents goodbye. So he goes back. He's plowing, by the way, with 12 oxen, which is a lot of oxen. And he's a very wealthy person. You can easily infer that. And what does he do with it? He cuts them off. He kills them and barbecues them for food for everybody with the wood from the thing. He says, hey, which that's, as a good old Southern boy, I love some barbecue. So
yes, but, I can agree with that.
You can agree with that, right? So
yes, sir.
He does that, but look at all the tethering to his past. He says, nope, we're done. I'm only moving forward. And, you know, there's another verse that talks about, you know, don't look behind you when you're plowing. Let's move forward. And I think, you know, that's where David was. David had to be insulated from his past through his relationship with the Father, right? And I think that's for us is, as God comes in, he says, hey, you know what? I'm your Heavenly Father. Don't forget that men are just men at their best.
Yeah, absolutely.
And go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't want to step on you. Go ahead. Close your thought out. Yeah.
So as I think about David and his moving forward, you know, he's always reminded as that warrior. But, you know, it also wasn't just the physical battles. He had some spiritual battles he had to go through, which the Bible is very clear that you're going to engage in those. You're going to wrestle with those principalities. Hence the Christian warrior piece of this thing is you are as a husband, as a dad, and you're going to struggle. You're going to wrestle. You absolutely. You know, it's one thing is for sure, is we just marked the 80th anniversary of D-Day. All those veterans have something in common, right? They all fought.
Yeah.
You can't tell me you landed on D-Day and didn't fight. You can't tell me you're a Christian and you never have a struggle, right? Yeah. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, as I was kind of pulling that about being insulated, I think, you know, as we kind of tie all these together from identity and titles and so forth, and looking at David's life and, you know, and even from Jonathan, and Jonathan was encouraging, right? Jonathan was the best friend. Hey, man, you're going to be the king. I'm going to be right beside you. So I think that's, to me, I think that's it. How you catch how you insulate yourself inside of Christ. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. I think that as I've said before in a previous episode, I think your best version of yourself as a man comes inside of Christ. But another good nugget to take away from this is as you try not to, as a man, to be hurt in the present and destroying things around you because of past hurts, is realize that inside of Jesus Christ, he provides. He provides what you need and what you may have been lacking. Like he tells us, he's like, I will be a mother and a father. You know, and what he's saying there is, I will be your provider. And I look at Jonathan, right? We don't understand fully the true nature and relationship of David and his brothers, but the tone, if you can pick up a tone, if you would, in the short text that we get, they're like, hey, why are you here, right? When he comes with his dad, like there's some kind of tension there. And so, but when you find in Jonathan, you find a true fulfilling, that love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing to me, and it's hopeful for me as a guy. As I move forward in my life, it doesn't matter what pain I went through, right? I think about, you know, Joseph, right? How the Lord provided for him with his brothers in situations. So you see this throughout the Bible where the Lord provides a family for Joseph when he was in Egypt, where he had lost a family, right? You look at David, he provides him a brother, and probably the best example of friendship that you can find, one of the best examples, if not the best, in the Bible. So, you know, as we talked about, you know, throughout this segment here, it's really looking at what the Lord can do through you trusting in him and giving your life to him. And that, to me, that was a beautiful takeaway with that.
You know, you said something about, you said when he shows up with the bread and his brothers are like, what are you doing here? That's the time when he fights Goliath, right? Or when his dad sends him down there with the bread and all his brothers are looking at him, they're like, what are you doing? Oh, you just come down here to see a fight. You know, you're not really getting in this. You just want to sit and watch. And they're really ridiculing, right?
Yeah.
And this little bitty And the term is Rudy, you know, and it describes David. And he goes, and so they're constantly harassing him. And he goes off, but he comes back to fight, right? He goes, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll absolutely get some of that. And I love it. I love it. He's like, you know what? I'm tired of your mouth. How about I just tear it out of the frame for you?
And when David showed up, there was going to be a misunderstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, we're going to get it on. And so, and if you dig more into that story, and what I really do love is he picks up a few more rocks, because he's not just going to kill the one, he's going after his brothers too. He's like, I'm just going to kill as many as I can with these rocks. So, that's good. So as he does that, and then all of a sudden he wins, right? And he's the hero. And you think about this. Think about this moment right here. The people who you love, who you admire, who you grow up with, who lay the foundation for your version of the truth is your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you grow up trusting them, and your brothers are telling you all this stuff, and they're always harassing you. And you know, that hurts. That hurts your heart. And then he wins. You got to, the next emotion that comes in somebody's mind is, well, look at that. And it's pride. Mm-hmm. I won. I showed you up. Now stop talking or whatever, right? And that's a natural human reaction, is pride. And the Bible speaks very heavily about pride, right? It comes before a fall.
Yeah.
It's the antecedent of destruction.
Yeah.
But how does David stay humble? Which is it, right? Like, so what do you think about that? Because David, how did he stay humble?
Yeah. Well, I think, which is a good kind of final part of this segment here, but, you know, what we see is, and it's the reason why David was called the man after God's own heart. So this transition after this peak, if you would, in his growing up, his coming of age where he kills Goliath, he has to just kind of serve for a while between his father's house and the palace, right? So he's kind of an intern king, even though you just kill someone. But not on top of that, when you see him finally ascend and get in, David didn't do it. And this is a good takeaway I want to make sure that I left with men this episode is, you have to deal with the past. You have to come to peace. You only find that through your relationship with the Lord. Because what we see with David is how he handled success led to some problems, right? And it's hard to be affluent. It's hard to have success. It's hard to have a high title. David had all of these things. And then he had children. And you see with Absalom, you see with the incident between his daughter and a son, and the ruin that came from that, Bathsheba, right? Where it's easy to get distracted, because David probably felt a sense of comfort after being on the run, after being the underdog for so long, and he allowed himself what he thought was some freedom. But it was really the traumas and hurts from his past that were now sacrificing in the future for things. And he had to be... Now, the great thing about David, and that's why he's the man after God's own heart, is how he will repent. But there is a pain and tragedy that will always bring him to that point. So, you know, Jason, I'll give it over to you kind of for some final thoughts on that. But I wanted to make sure you left that with men. Like, you have to deal with the past, and you can only really truly deal with it and come to peace is through Jesus. But if you don't, David's life gives you clear examples of how you can destroy future generations, but not dealing with the past.
No, I think you absolutely do. You know, when it comes to the past, you know, let's be honest, the time machine's not invented. That earlier thing was a joke. There is no time machine. So you have to can't go back and change it. So either it becomes a foundational part or it becomes a stumbling block, right? It's either something you learn from or you don't. And I think where that comes from is that perspective, right? And I absolutely want to say this right here. You know, When you look at that, when your past comes up, and it's a common thing, Christian, it's a common thing with dads. As Father's Day approaches, it's common. You know, when you look at the past, you may not have gotten everything you wanted, and that's okay. You know, we grow through struggling, and God probably put that obstacle in your life to help you grow. Look at all the things that David went through, and it was to set him up to accomplish another task, right? You don't get stronger on the squat rack or the deadlift rack unless you add a few extra plates. And it's going to be tough, right?
Right. Yeah.
But who brings up your past in a bad light? Who brings it up and shows you and highlights your failure? Well, that's the devil, right? And Jesus talked about him. He says, look, he's been a liar and a murderer since the beginning. So why on earth would you give credence to anything that is a liar, right? I think you have a the closer you draw to Jesus, the more distance the devil will be from you as well. We every man's going to have those struggles. You know, I thought about this the other day as you know, Memorial Day and so forth. And I'm absolutely reminded of the men I know paid that ultimate sacrifice, right? And I thought very hard about that. And I thought, you know, those are guys that if they could see me, they would absolutely want me to enjoy my day because we were good friends and I'll see them again. But at the same token, you know, they're like, hey, it's only the people you love you can cry for. And those are the people who tell you not to cry. It's kind of that parody, if you would. But in the same token, you know, your past, those things, Jesus takes those and he says, look, those, we're going to make those a foundation. You're going to be a brand new creature and you're going to move forward. And that's it. You're going to be like Elisha. We're going to make as a matter of fact, we're going to take your past and we're going to turn it into something good. We're going to feed other people from it. And I want you to go forward and do something else. I think as dads, look, all the battles that you've endured, those are for you. Your children didn't sign up for that.
Yeah.
And you signed up to protect them. So part of protecting them from your path and those painful memories or whatever is also a part of it. But it's not just that protection, but you as a dad got to be at peace. And I think that comes through Jesus, through your relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of toughness out there, and I'm not belittling any of them. I got to be very careful about that because there are. But I absolutely encourage all of the people to develop that very strong relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, and let's, and to be able to embrace the new creature that you are, you know, and that move forward.
No, I think there's no better way to kind of sum up the whole talk that we've had about dealing and reconciling with your past. And really that comes through, like you said, Jesus Christ and your relationship with him and encouraging people that hear our voice and hear the stories that we're caring for, that it's all about him. So that's a great way to put a bow on that. So now we're into what we are now calling a free flow session, right? We're going to spend a little time just talking about some things going on around us. So Jason, I'll turn it over to you to kind of kick off this part of the podcast. What you got?
Okay, so I was kind of flipping through some news here and different things. I always try to look at all the craziness because the world is absolutely full of it. But apparently, can't make this up, this guy built this thing called a hydropod. And basically, it's a giant oversized hamster wheel. And it goes on across the ocean. Well, they arrested him and said he couldn't do it. I think this is kind of, it's been a little bit, but it still popped up. Colby, I can't make this up. Why on earth would you get in the ocean in this hamster wheel and go, I'm going to cross the ocean, right? 4,000 miles across the Atlantic.
Something tells me he's a Florida man. Yeah, I knew it. I could have called it. Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to get in something that resembles a hamster wheel.
Our
prey animals, and you would be prey to whatever's in the ocean. Man, the things we do in this world for attention, right?
It's wild. It's wild. But, you know, like you said, it's for attention. There's a lot of attention seeking nowadays. And, you know, you see that play out down to kids and everything else. But, you know, it's just wild what people do. I mean, I see a lot of people wasting food, right? Like, that's a common thing that kind of happens. Like, people make content just wasting food, making food in toilets and all kinds of weirdness. But it's a lot of wild things out there, you know. But hey, we did experience some wild things ourselves, right, when the podcast launched.
Your artwork draws a lot of attention.
And all joking, like, you know, we talked about it. I don't want to give credence to those that are negative about, you know, our faith or what we're trying to do. Because, again, it's not necessarily that you're upset at me because you don't know me, right? For all the social media tough guys and stuff. You don't know me and I don't know you. You're really upset about the message. But for any man or anyone listening out there, right, like, you know, we have to stick to what's the truth, right? And nowadays, in the world around us, the truth seems to be this ever-changing variable, right? And I get it. People have dealt with past hurts from people that had this label called Christians and all these other things. But the truth of the matter is what you see Jesus depict and you see people trying to move through, be kingdom men, as we talked about, and executing that, that's the truth. And he has called us to live a certain kind of way, and I'm not apologetic about that, but you know, it's kind of funny, right? It was some funny comments. I'm not even going to give them credence and say some of the stuff, but it's like, wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Besides those people, I don't think they're going to listen to it anyway. I think it's just a circus thing. All right. So here's one real quick. Should have chosen this. I can't believe this. I just saw it. You're going to appreciate this. A 70-year-old Alaska man attempted to take some photos of a newborn moose calf and was attacked and killed by the mother. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you are in that engagement domain of a wild animal, safety first. That's absolutely a horrific thing. But you see that in Yellowstone, right? Like, oh, I'm going to get a picture of a grizzly bear, and that thing decides that you look like a snack. And,
That's crazy.
That's not funny. It's very tragic, but I mean, good gosh.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's more of a warning of don't be near wild animals. It's not funny, like the guy that decided to be a hamster and cross the ocean. It's horrible.
Yeah, that was my first assignment, was at Fort Richardson. And I remember hearing, I don't know, maybe every other week or so, especially like, you know, whenever moose or elk were kind of in the rut, you know, if you will, and somebody getting stomped out, right? Like trying to take a picture, or they get in between like someone, right? And it just doesn't make sense, right? Yeah. But again, you know, kind of tying this all in, like we always kind of keep doing, like, you know, you have to be aware of your surroundings, right? There's an enemy, there's threats all around us, right? And from that biblical perspective, right? Like if you don't have your guard up, as Ephesians 6 says, if you don't have your armor on, then the adversary is going to find a way to attack you and maybe stomp you out. So,
Yeah. I mean, you're in a battle, you know, with the adversary. Absolutely. I think that will absolutely become more relevant once we get to heaven. Right.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well,
I got one funny for you this week. Yeah. It's not a funny, or just something event. So I was watching the world championships as I was up late last night for speed walking for women.
Okay.
On ESPN. And I'm watching this, like, you know, one woman's way out in front. She's going to win. This is like on the last lap. Second place is coming in strong. And the woman in third had probably a 10-meter gap on the fourth place woman. And she starts celebrating early. You know, she's got her hand up. She does a little tongue wag. She's winking at the cameras. And what she doesn't know is the woman behind her is powering through. She's coming for her, right?
Oh.
Again, not aware of her surroundings, right? Going into, like, we talk about pride and all these things. And you see the look of horror and just shame as the moment where the woman passes her and it's too late, you know, the speed walk, you can't run. And it's just like, you lost, you don't get a medal.
Yeah.
And probably one of the biggest athletic events for these women, like, you know, it's hard work, but.
They're moving out too. They go faster than most people can run.
You're not lying. I mean, those hips and like the way that they walk, I'm like, that looks painful, but they're moving. But yeah. I was just like floored. I'm like, how do you not finish your race, right? Paul talks about that, right? Finish the race.
Stay focused.
As a man, as a believer, stay focused on the task at hand, man. Don't get distracted. Like, that's a whole episode in itself. Don't get distracted, but good conversation.
No, that's absolutely right about distraction. You're 100% right. All right. Well, like I said, we'll be closing out. So go ahead, bro.
All right. Well, I'm going to pray us out and then I'll close out the episode. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather here again. We honor you. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice. for our past and our futures and sin, and that we now have freedom for all who choose to accept his free gift of salvation that he made on the cross for all of us. We ask that any of those under our voice, Lord, that they are inspired by the Holy Spirit to find out who Jesus is for themselves, not what someone else has told them, not what their past has told them about Christians, but what who Jesus is and what the Bible has to say about him. And so we thank you for this work. We pray for all of our families who are out there supporting us and friends. And Lord, we just ask you continue to do a great work for the here at the Jonathan Project. So folks, that closes off episode 3 of the Jonathan Project. And what we were talking about here today was, you know, don't sacrifice your past for your future, right? Always be focused on healing and moving forward. And that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can find these episodes every Thursday on your favorite podcast streaming services from Apple, iHeart, Pandora, Spotify. We're there. But you can also reach out to us at thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, you want to talk about something, you want us to talk about something, please feel free to reach out to us. So we thank you. We look forward to talking to you next week. Next week's episode is going to be a fun one as well, as we talk about Jesus wants followers, not fans. So for myself and Jason, live for Jesus and lead well, and we'll see you next week. Jason, take care of yourself, brother, and I'll see you on the other side.
See you, buddy.